Well, last week we were, of course, supposed to join Bob King for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. And I don't know whether an eclipse or a black hole or what little metaphor would best describe the disaster that we had going on technically. But it's, you know, it's all repaired now. And Mr. Bob King was gracious enough to join us again because we have an annular eclipse to talk about tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay, yes. Then we got to know about this. This was worth a reschedule because this we must know about. Tell us more.
Well, and the weather looks like it's going to be clear.
Shh, don't say that too loudly.
Believe it or not.
Don't say that too loudly.
We have the disbelief factor built into us because we've been wronged so many times. But it's supposed to be clear tomorrow morning. And it's an easy time to remember when the eclipse happens at sunrise.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go. And sunrise for the Duluth area is at 5:15 a.m. But I'd like you to get out there before sunrise.
And why is that? And why is that, Bob?
What was that? You can do that.
I said, and why is that? What is that special reason,
well,
Bob?
I can't tell you that until we talk a little bit about the eclipse first.
Okay.
All right. It's an annular eclipse. It's a solar eclipse. And for us, it's really a partial solar eclipse. The moon passes between the sun and the earth because it's a new moon phase right now. So you can't see the moon, right, until tomorrow morning when you'll see about a little less than half the sun covered here for the Duluth area once it rises. So that'll be a partial eclipse. If you go further north, if you go into Canada, right along the North Shore, starting at the North Shore of Lake Superior and then going all the way up to Hudson Bay, across the edge of Greenland, even the North Pole, and then over into Siberia, that's the path of annularity. In that path, which again begins on the North Shore of Lake Superior, unfortunately the Canadian North Shore, so we can't get there because of COVID restrictions, but in that path, you'll see the moon exactly centered on the sun's face. However, the moon will not cover the sun 100%. There'll be a bright ring of light, even when it's centered on the sun. And the reason for that, by the way, that ring of light is called the annulus, which is the Latin word for little ring. That's why it's an annular eclipse. Some people call it a ring of fire eclipse, add a little extra drama to it.
Oh, because we need more drama in everything we do.
Yes.
Please bump up the drama quotient, shall we?
Well, so the ring of fire. But the reason why the moon doesn't fit over the sun completely is because it happens to be at its most distant point from the Earth in its orbit. That point's called apogee. And apogee is today or yesterday. It's very close to the time of the eclipse. So being further, the moon's a little smaller than normal. It appears smaller, and so it doesn't quite cover the sun. So the sun leaks in around the edges, and we get that bright ring. But again, you have to be in that path to see the annular eclipse. Here in Duluth, like I say, we'll see about 47% right when the sun rises, and the moon will gradually be sliding off the sun from sunrise as the morning progresses. So the eclipse begins for us at 5:15, and it ends at 5:49, just a little before 6 a.m. So you got a little slot there. What is that, Lisa? About a half an hour, 35 minutes?
It's just a little over 34 minutes, I think.
34 minutes.
And so, I'm just trying to figure out if I could, you know, do you think facilities management would notice if I was able to clamber up on top of the Weber Music Hall? Because I'm thinking I wouldn't even have to be late for my show. Mm-hmm. And it would be a pretty cool view from up there. Assuming I didn't slide off and die or something.
Yeah, don't slide off the roof.
Yeah.
We don't want you injured. I want to talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Well, and yeah, you're not really supposed to, I'm guessing, go clambering about on, you know, I mean, like if you go, oh, that house has got a really good view, I'll just climb up on their roof. It's probably a bad idea.
Well, I have a better suggestion than roof climbing.
Do you?
Eclipse. And maybe you could even try this. You might be able to see the beginning of the eclipse before work.
Cool.
Just by going down to Brighton Beach.
Oh.
If it were me, I would.
And it will be, no doubt.
Well, I won't be. Actually, I'll be in a very strange place for this eclipse. I'll tell you that in a moment. But you go down to Brighton Beach, not the first pullout or two, but just go to the park area that's a little further along the beach where you can make that right turn into that larger parking area. There's a little point of rock that goes out from there into the lake. But down in Brighton Beach, in that parking area, you can look to the northeast, and you've got a pretty doggone good view of the rising sun.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's going to come out of the lake because it's very far north this year. It's going to be right at the edge of the tree line in the lake, but it's going to be a distant tree line, so you're going to see the sun within a couple of minutes of it rising. That's where I would go.
Okay.
And that's where I kind of had planned to go. By the way, for listeners who live up the North Shore, you're closer to the path of annularity. So the further north you go along the shore, the more of the sun will be eclipsed. In Grand Marais, for instance, it comes up 70% eclipse. So it'll be a thick crescent. That'll be awesome. In Duluth, like I say, we'll see cusps on it. It'll be about half. And that'll look cool, too. The other thing to watch for, and this goes back to what I first mentioned about getting out before sunrise. We, along with some other areas in northern Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin, happen to also be in what's called the negative path of annularity. We don't make it into the actual path, but we're in the negative path of annularity. Before you grumble,
okay.
Before you show some concern, it's a really cool thing because that means that in Duluth, for instance, the sun will be in full annular eclipse at 4:52 a.m., 23 minutes before the sun rises. So let's say you're out there during twilight. You get out an hour before sunrise. You're going to notice that twilight's a little slow incoming because the sun is being eclipsed. You know, and just like in any eclipse, it gets a little darker. The light gets a little weird.
Okay.
The sun will be annularly eclipsed 23 minutes before sunrise. So almost most of the sun will be gone. So twilight will, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but twilight will sort of slow down and maybe even stop for a little bit in reverse.
Ooh.
Ooh, come on.
That's kind of wacky.
And that would require you getting out to fully appreciate this and to see what that effect would be like. That would mean you'd want to get out an hour before the sun rises at
4:15.
We're talking 4:15. So if you get up real early, you can watch potential interesting things happening with twilight. The other thing that might happen, if there are some clouds about, is that picture the sun 23 minutes before sunrise. It's an annular eclipse, right? There's a bright ring of sunlight below the horizon you can't see.
Right.
But that ring might possibly affect the illumination of the clouds. It might have some strange effects. I mean, it's an opportunity to see something that doesn't occur very often.
So you're going to be in what, a box someplace?
In a box, yes. A box with wings on it flying through the air.
Are you serious?
I am. I was invited to go fly into the path of annularity by Sky and Telescope, folks at Sky and Telescope.
Oh, you are so groovy.
Well, we get a little window, okay?
and they didn't say, well, you were a reporter photographer for so many years. Normally, when I hear about somebody doing something like this, I say, oh, you need a member of the news media to go with you. But you are the news media.
Well,
even
former.
Still, yeah, you're still close. So, but I mean, do you think you could sell them on, I could get the morning off really fast, I bet. Do you think you could sell them on, I need to bring a radio reporter with me?
Or get you stowed away on there.
Oh, sure.
Great. Yeah, the seats, I guess, are all sold for this flight. And the flight
big surprise.
To Minneapolis tomorrow morning, real early, as you can imagine, flies over Duluth, goes up north of Thunder Bay. And it's north of Thunder Bay. There's some real little towns. I mean, it's just wilderness up there, basically. But there's towns like Pickle Lake and Armstrong that will experience the full annular eclipse. So we're going to fly up that way. The pilot's going to turn the plane to point northwest. And then everybody gets a window seat.
And then and then the plane kind of goes wackadoo because everybody's on one side of the plane instead of the other.
It's going to tip over. That's all I think.
Yeah.
They do require on takeoff that you sit spread out on the plane. But during the eclipse, they're gonna point it. There'll be like 15 minutes where everybody's going to be seated on the other one side of the plane.
Everybody gets to throw their luggage on the other side of the seat. You know, all that heavy stuff, you know. But everybody will have their camera gear, you know.
No one's going to throw any luggage anywhere except right next to themselves.
Well, yeah.
You know, they're going to be photographing. So ABC will be there. I know that. Chuck, what's his name? Rob Marciano, the weatherman for ABC? The meteorologist, he'll be there on the plane doing video.
Are you sure you can't get me along somehow?
I'll share some photos if I can get a couple of snaps out the window, you know.
Get Rob Marciano to sign a napkin. He's dreamy. I was distracted there briefly for a moment. Well, I'm old. I'm not dead, Bob.
Well, one thing we have to talk about is protecting your vision.
That was something I really did want to get back to, and we should have actually mentioned it, I think, a couple of times before, just that we're going to talk about it, because we can talk about seeing things and seeing things and seeing things, but nobody's going anywhere, even you guys in the plane, to look at things or to photograph or to sit in Grand Marais or to sit down in Brighton Beach without protecting your eyes and looking and not looking right at the sun. Super bad plan. Don't do it.
Yeah, it really is. Never look directly at the sun, not even for a second. I mean, at sunrise, you know, you've seen a sunrise. You can glimpse, you know, but don't look at the sun. You can't feel the damage that's happening. If you look at the sun, there's infrared and ultraviolet light from the sun that will go into your eye. And in particular, the infrared light, that's heat radiation, that will eventually cook your retina, and it doesn't take long to happen, and that will definitely damage your vision. So you have to look at, there's a couple of very safe ways to look at the sun, and the number one way is if you still have your eclipse glasses.
Oh, I don't.
In August of 2017.
Right.
There was a partial eclipse for Duluth back then. If you just inspect your glasses, if the glasses still look good, you know, they're not scratched and damaged.
Right.
Just use those. Those things are good for a long, 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 long time. And pop those on, and you can watch the sun come right out of the horizon looking with your eclipse glasses. The other thing you can do if you don't have those, the other direct method, is to go to, I can't think of the name of it, but there is a welding supply shop here in Duluth, and buy a number 14. Do not get a 12 or a 13. Buy a number 14 welder's glass. It's a little piece of glass about 4 inches long by 2 inches wide, and perfectly great for, it's one of my favorite filters. I love the welder's glass filters. They're very sharp, and it's just a black piece of glass, but it is built safely for solar viewing. Wow. Number 14.
Now, what about if you are a photographer or a fledgling photographer and you want to try to get some photographs? I'm concerned not only about your, you know, my own eyes, I guess. I'd also be concerned about, am I going to blow up my optics, which even secondhand cost more than my house?
Yeah, I know how it is these days. But, you have to be careful of your camera sensor. I've photographed sunrises before quite a few times. And if you have a DSLR and you pre-focus on at infinity, you know, on a cloud,
right?
So that everything in the distance is sharp, so
right?
A cloud or the distant horizon, and you watch where the sun is going to rise, and you point your camera in that direction, and then you just shoot blind. I do that.
So you're not looking through the viewfinder.
No.
You're not looking at the little display on the back. You're just...
You can use the live view in your camera to peek.
Okay.
At the very beginning, but don't look at it. No.
Okay.
I shoot blind. So I just point, I see where the sun's coming up, I get ready to go, and then when that first bead comes over the horizon...
You just start shooting.
Shoot to your heart's content without even looking through the camera. So do not look through the camera. The other method You can get a solar filter for your camera, but it's a little too late for that unless you have one. Some people get a very dense neutral density filter to put on the front of the camera lens.
Then
you use live view to take your pictures so that you don't damage your sensors. But there are indirect ways to do this too. Just for viewing, I wanted to be sure to mention a couple of those in case you can't get a filter.
Do you have, Bob, I'm curious also about your blog post. It seems like this would be the kind of thing that you would definitely want to tackle. And do you have some of these indirect viewing methods?
I've got it all in there, and I'm going to do a quick update available for everybody here.
So we'll get a link set up to that so that folks can make sure, you know, if you want to go out, you want to see the eclipse, you want to enjoy the natural beauty because these are things that are important to you. But if you damage your eyesight, this is something that will not be available to you any longer. And we don't want anybody to do that. We want everybody to be safe and sensible and have wonderful photographs or a safe look at the eclipse, but nobody getting hurt.
You don't want to lose it, you know, because you could lose it forever. Or you could be left with, you know, an etched view, a little picture of the sun in your eye etched for life.
And
that phase of the eclipse, you would have a little image hanging there.
And that could be so annoying and upsetting.
You know, so it's good that that we talk about all these precautions. So, and that brings us to a final thing here is I talked about the direct ways, using glasses and the welder's glass. But you can indirectly view the sun, too. If you have a pair of binoculars, you can put them on a tripod and cap one of the lenses, you know, of the two, and then you can point your binoculars at the sun and then project the image of the sun coming out the back of the binoculars onto a piece of white cardboard or white paper, whatever you have at hand. So you'll project an image, and then you just focus that image as normal. And then you could take a picture of the sun in the eclipse that way. And you'll get a nice enlarged view of the eclipse sun. You can also take a colander out. I tried this. It really works great.
I'm guessing it looks goofy. Anything that involves a colander is going to look goofy. But all right.
You understand this. Amateur astronomers, they go, must be an amateur astronomer. He's got a colander.
Right.
He's staring through a colander at the ground. Definitely an astronomer.
I like it. Okay, so you take your colander.
You hold it up against, you point it so that it's facing the sun, and then the little holes will project tiny images of the sun on the ground, or if you have a piece of white paper or a sheet, that's even better. You'll get like 1,000 tiny solar eclipses. Which is really cool.
Like that.
If you don't have a colander, get a paper plate and take a sewing needle and put holes in it.
Hey, you can get a colander. Now, we're not talking about a sieve. We're talking about a colander. But if
you
can get a colander at the dollar store, I betcha.
Just
saying.
Make a trip to the dollar store for a colander. Or just open the cupboard and you got a paper plate in there. Put some holes in it. You can even make a design on the paper plate.
That's so cool. It could say, hi, Bob.
You could say, hi, Lisa, right there. Or I wish I had a filter. And then
exactly. Or I wish I had a colander. Yeah.
That would be good.
My kingdom for a colander.
That. You're going to wish that because you went to the dollar store, and after you announced it, they sold out.
Right. Yeah. Well, luckily, there are a lot of dollar stores, so it's all good. Bob, this is going to be so great. I expect an update from you instantly. I want to see your photographs instantly, and I'll try, if we get them quickly, I'll try to get them appended, later tomorrow to the web post today so that folks can see your photographs. I'm really excited and thrilled for you that you have this opportunity, and thanks so much for joining us again this morning. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Lisa. I hope you get to see it. I hope a lot of KUMD's listeners also get to see the eclipse safely, using the methods that we described.
You bet. Thanks again, Bob.
Thanks, Lisa.
Mr. Bob King this morning, our host for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy, and we'll have all of those tips for safe viewing and photographing the eclipse tomorrow morning. Again, you want to make sure that you take safety precautions. You don't want to lose your vision altogether, and that is a risk if you're not careful. We'll get Bob's information up so that you can take the appropriate precautions, and you'll be able to find it a little later this morning at KUMD.org.